You're listening to Defending Faith, Family, and Freedom, featuring Gary Bauer, Senior Vice President of Public Policy at the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute. And now, here's Gary.
Hi, this is Gary Bauer, Senior Vice President for Public Policy at the James Dobson Family Institute. Welcome to our weekly podcast, Defending Faith, Family, and Freedom. I'm glad you're with us. Please be here every week and tell your friends about us. Well, I don't know if you noticed or not, but the National Religious Broadcasters 2024 convention was recently in Nashville, Tennessee. It was a great event. You'll be happy to know that the JDFI team was well represented. We were there to tell the over 1,500 attendees about the many new initiatives that Dr. Dobson is launching in 2024. The guy is tireless. The enthusiasm level was gratifying as God continues to bless the ministry of Jim and Shirley Dobson. Now, perhaps one of the biggest events at the convention was a speech by former President Donald Trump. All the current presidential candidates from both parties that are still in their races were invited to speak at the convention, but only President Trump accepted. I think you probably know that the National Religious Broadcasters as an organization and JDFI do not endorse candidates. But we do speak out clearly on the moral issues facing our country, including religious persecution, radical cultural secularism, the sanctity of life, corruption, which seems to be seeping in to every aspect of our country, trans radicalism. Where in the world did that thing come from? And of course, the anti-family, anti-faith, LGBTQ agenda. President Trump's speech covered many of those issues, with a particular emphasis on the persecution of Christians. I've heard a lot of speeches, as you can imagine. I've been in Washington a long time. I've worked for men and women in and out of government. One of the things you have to do is listen to a lot of speeches. This was really an astonishing speech. There was very little press coverage, and I think I know why. Many commentators, Christian commentators, have said that Trump's speech at the convention was the most pro-Christian speech they have ever heard delivered by a current or former president of the United States. Now, that's saying something, and it seems to me that ought to be a reason that the speech got a lot of attention. But quite frankly, my friends, I think our friends, I use the word loosely, in the media really didn't want the American people, and particularly men and women of faith, to hear what President Trump had to say. So I'm going to share a couple things with you, and I'm going to react to those things that he said, and I think you'll find it interesting and maybe thought-provoking. Now, here's one of the quotes that jumped out at me because I knew exactly what he meant.
Remember, every communist regime throughout history has tried to stamp out the churches, just like every fascist regime has tried to co-opt them and control them. And in America, the radical left is trying to do both.
Wow, that's a pretty strong statement. It's also historically correct. I think I've mentioned this to you before. Donald Trump appointed me to the U.S. Commission on International Religious Freedom when he was president in the White House. And I was able to serve for 3 years. And that commission looks at countries all over the world. And we try to determine whether a country, any country, is moving toward or currently engaged in violating religious liberty. And I was particularly interested on the commission whether they were doing that to Christians. In fact, President Trump, when he appointed me, said, "Hey, Gary, I'm counting on you to stand up for Christians around the world." And I promised him I would. Well, I've been working in this area for many, many years. And so I had a pretty good idea of what the historical trends were. But I want to tell you, my friends, after 3 years on that commission, there were nine of us. It was bipartisan. There were four Democrats, five Republicans. We had a staff of about 30 people. We were doing research all over. People, commissioners were going to countries all over the world to investigate. And one of the things that jumps out at you is that when you find a country that is persecuting Christians, closing churches, or threatening Christian leaders, are telling Christians to be quiet, to keep their nose out of government. And by the way, if you see countries doing that to Jews, persecuting Jews, encouraging anti-Semitism, that always corresponds with that nation already having sunk into totalitarianism or is on its way to be a country without freedom for anybody. The correlation is unmistakable. Every year we would put out a list of the worst persecutors of religion generally, and in my case, I would emphasize Christians around the world. And the top 10 countries on that list always was dominated by communist and socialist countries, along with radical Islamic countries that were very intolerant of any other viewpoint. So you'd have countries on the list like communist China. That should be no surprise. North Korea. The Christian church in North Korea has been virtually stamped out. But it gets to churches, or it gets to countries also like Venezuela and Cuba. People don't hear that much about them, but both of these countries are violating religious liberty of all faiths, but particularly Christians. And they're also countries that allow less and less freedom. The same thing is going on in the United States. And that is the point that President Trump wanted to make, that this kind of persecution is coming here unless we stand up and fight it. And in fact, the evidence is already out there. Just, I don't know, a couple of weeks ago, the Family Research Council, which you probably have heard of, let me remind you, Dr. Dobson took over the Family Research Council decades ago. He put me in as president of it, which I served for 10 years. FRC has grown. It's become a major influential entity here in Washington, fighting for faith, family, and freedom. They just put out a report a few weeks ago in which they researched the attacks and the violence happening against Christian churches in America. Now, if you go back to 2020, that's four short years ago, there were 55 incidents across America of attacks on churches. By last year, that was at 430 incidents. Now, I'm not just talking about desecration, spray painting a church. There's shootings. There's violence against parishioners, the sort of things that you can see in third world dictatorships, but not in the United States of America. Attacks on places of worship, attacks on synagogues, on churches, that can never be tolerated, but it's happening in our country. And my friends, maybe if you haven't heard about this, it's because the current government in power in Washington doesn't say much about it. There aren't any televised addresses to the nation about attacks on churches and the fact that that's a hate crime, etc. So we have a serious sign right here in our country about what could be headed our way. Former President Trump elaborates on this a little bit.
The chains are already tightening around all of us. I mean, if you think about it, ultimately, the radical left is coming after all of us because they know that our allegiance is not to them. Our allegiance is to our country, and our allegiance is to our Creator. They don't want to hear that.
This is an incredibly important point, and it's being played out right in front of your eyes. How many times has Dr. Dobson talked to you? I constantly talk to you about the central idea of America. This is really important, folks. If your children and grandchildren don't know the main idea of America, then you got to sit down with them right now and tell them. And it's not that hard, because the main idea of America is about 24 words. It's in the second paragraph of the Declaration of Independence. I'll refresh your memory. It says, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal and endowed by their government." No. If it said that, endowed by their government, there would be nothing special about America. It says endowed by their Creator. And by the way, my friends, The founding fathers, when they referred to the creator, they were only referring to one creator. It's the God of the Bible, endowed by their creator with certain inalienable rights. Did you get that? God, not government, gives us our rights. And among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Can you imagine what King George thought when he heard those words? He was furious. America's first founding fathers were telling King George, hey, buddy, you don't give us our liberty. Our liberty comes directly from God. You're taking it away, and we're going to take it back. Well, today, I can tell you from firsthand experience, our kids do not know those words. I've gone to multiple schools over the years. I start out the sentence, and most high school seniors and juniors can't finish the sentence. But now we're finding that all kinds of powerful people in our country either don't know the words or they disagree with the words. Just recently, a fairly well-known commentator went on MSNBC, and she was trying to warn about a very dangerous situation in the country. And you know what the dangerous situation was? She told the other panelists that she had found out that there were Americans, and she called them Christian nationalists, and she kind of whispered it, there are Americans who believe that no human entity gave them liberty, that it comes from some God. Yeah, lady, it does. I mean, I think she was totally unaware that she was dissing the founders of our country. What she tried to paint as some radical little fringe position is exactly what Thomas Jefferson and James Madison and George Washington and all those people you probably and hopefully read about when you were in school. It's what all of them believed, that liberty came from God. It is the most important thing about America, that belief. And she was labeling it an extremist view that threatened our democracy. Now, why would that be? Why would they be afraid of the idea that liberty comes from God? I think it's pretty easy to figure that out because we are living in a time when there are attacks on our liberty from government. They're attempting to regulate religious liberty. They're attempting to regulate the freedom of speech. They're attempting to regulate the freedom of assembly. Their friends in big media and in social media censor Christians and others on social media. So there are attacks taking place by forces in our government on our liberties. And the last thing they want is for the average American or the average Christian to wake up one morning and go, whoa, wait a minute. They can't do that. These rights to worship God, to meet with other people when we want, to not be censored. All these things were given to us by God, not by this government. This government can't take away anything that God has given us. And so this central belief that JDFI promotes all the time, we remind you of it all the time, that threatens those in our own country and our own government who are intent on restricting liberty. So the president specifically sent a message in his speech to us as Christians.
For all Americans, but especially for Christians, nothing is more important than to defeat this wicked system and to return to fair, equal, and impartial justice under the constitutional rule of law. You have to return to the constitutional rule of law.
Well, right there, he was talking to all of us who worship Jesus Christ. Quite frankly, I believe he was talking to all Americans who believe in the equal and impartial justice under the constitutional rule of law. But why did he see fit to bring it up? Well, if you've been a loyal listener, you know why. We're seeing over and over again our legal system treating trespasses and alleged crimes by conservatives and Christians and their allies one way, and treating those same offenses by leftists and radical secularists and non-Christians, treating them in a completely different way. And the most obvious example of this is what's happened since the Supreme Court overturned Roe and erased the lie, this lie that we lived under for years, that somewhere in our glorious Constitution, there was a right to abort babies. There is no place in our Constitution that it even mentions the word abortion. So no, it was never in the Constitution. But the court overturned that. Thank God. We all celebrated at JDFI. I hope your church celebrated. Not everybody around America celebrated, though. So since the overturn of Roe, there's been demonstrations on both sides of the issue. And here's where it gets really interesting and really troubling. There have been hundreds of attacks on crisis pregnancy centers since this decision came out. You know what those are. Those are centers that a woman can go to who's pregnant. She may have been abandoned by the man. Maybe she's afraid. She doesn't know how she's going to take care of the baby. Maybe she's just trying to make a decision about whether to have the child or not. She goes to a crisis pregnancy center, and they take care of her. They give her all the facts about the pregnancy. If she decides to have the baby, they provide food, they provide medicine, clothing, et cetera. They stand with her at a very trying time. Those centers have come under physical attack all over America. They've been burned down. They've been spray painted. One of them, a bomb went off. I mean, it's just horrible stuff. And our Federal Bureau of Investigation is having, it finds it impossible to find out who's doing this. The head of the FBI was asked, why have there been so few people arrested? And you might want to sit down. He said, well they're wearing masks, and it's really hard to identify people when they're wearing masks. Really? That's not like a new strategy by criminals, wearing a mask? Our FBI, they don't know what to do next. So there's only been a couple of arrests around the country, and the people that did those things were basically let out of the legal system with almost no punishment. Compare that to what has happened to Christians who have peacefully protested at abortion clinics, both in Washington, D.C., in the state of Tennessee, pro-lifers that engaged in sit-ins. You know what a sit-in is? It was a tactic used during the civil rights movement. Civil rights activists would go to a business that was discriminating, and maybe it was a diner, and they would go in and they would sit in at the counter. And when they were told to leave, they wouldn't leave. And usually this was in the South. Police would come in and arrest them. And generally they would be out of jail in 24 hours. When you do nonviolent protesting, you will get arrested in some cases, but you're not going to prison for years. That nonviolent protest is as American as apple pie. But these Christians that demonstrated at an abortion clinic in Washington, D.C. by sitting down in the hallway and singing hymns, and then another group in Tennessee, the same thing. Some of these people were 70s, in their 70s and 80s, sitting outside of an abortion clinic, praying together, singing hymns. Wow, sound like a real threat to the Republic. Well, they've been charged by the Biden administration with violating some federal law. They've been found guilty. They're awaiting sentencing, and the possible sentence is 10 years in prison and or a $250,000 fine for sitting in someplace. You can't have this dichotomy in the application of our laws. One side can't get a slap on the wrist while the other side goes to prison, maybe in some cases, for the rest of their lives. That was what Donald Trump was raising in the speech and why he said it was so important for Christians to stand up. Well, I could go on and on with a lot of other things he raised. You know, I love Ronald Reagan. God bless his soul. I worked for him for 8 years. President Reagan made some famous speeches to Christian audiences, one in Dallas before he even became president, that sort of endeared him to Christians. Even that speech came nowhere close to what Donald Trump talked about in this speech and promised in this speech. Let me play a couple of other things. I don't have time today to go through them all, but just an additional sampling of the issues he dealt with.
I will never allow the big media or left-wing pressure groups to silence you. I will also take historic action to defeat the toxic poison of gender ideology and restore the timeless truth that God created two genders, male and female.
This is an issue that JDFI, Dr. Dobson, me, our whole team has been fighting on and working on to try to stop this insanity that is seducing our children. And then related to that issue,
I will keep men out of women's sports. Can you imagine? And I will sign a law prohibiting child sexual mutilation in all 50 states.
Again, very clear, very obvious, plain spoken, no hedging. And as I said, I think that's the reason you probably didn't hear about this speech, because the media knows that with all of our problems, this is still a decent country, a country that takes religion seriously, a country that believes in reliable standards of right and wrong. And I think the media fears, the left fears, that if the American people knew about this speech, somehow it could help former President Trump, or it might stop the plans of those that, quite frankly, we're fighting against on all of these issues. Well, I hope you enjoyed this little discussion of President Trump's speech. I want to reiterate, we go to everybody. I've got a request into the White House for President Biden to address these issues, the same issues that were addressed in the speech. They have not been willing to do it. But look, we have in this podcast talked about things the administration is doing on religious liberty, on the transgender issue, on the violation of the equal protection of the laws. And I just have to say it because it's true. In every case, they are taking the exact opposite position that former President Trump outlined in this incredibly important speech to the national religious broadcasters. Well, thank you, my friends, for being here this week. Come back every week as we sit here at the James Dobson Family Institute and bring you the latest in our podcast, Defending Faith, Family, and Freedom. God bless you all.
Subscribe to Gary Bauer's Defending Faith, Family, and Freedom, where you find your favorite podcasts. Just hit the subscribe button to ensure you receive every episode.